did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
I don't know, fish. Woo. For some reason or another.
Sometimes things come together. You never know.
You sat down and I just went, wait a minute. I know I'm going to open this show. Obviously, we got Captain Tom Fisher here with us in Radio Fishing. And there is nothing to report about.
Yeah.
It's windy. It's rainy. It's nasty. But
absolutely. Absolutely. But we needed it. We needed it big time.
Before this hit. What was going on right before all this weather hit?
Well, it was really good. Now we had the harbor was really on fire. You had your white bait was in for your back bay fish. We had the thread fins. You know, the whole harbor was filled up with that. You had the lady fish off the bar. You could get now out there in the middle of the harbor knots. You know, so you had plenty of bait everywhere, your crabs were running through the pass. I mean, it was just everything was flowing, everything was natural. The fish were on the hill, the tarpon.
So everything started out, everything had finally ramped up and was just getting okay,
right.
This is getting good.
This is getting right.
We've been waiting and waiting for the bait to show up. The bait finally started showing up.
Yep.
The crabs started to flush. The tarpon were hitting.
They were here. It just all got better. You know, it just got really good.
It had just got pretty good. And then all of a sudden.
You know what, though? It happens every year. It's Florida. You know, you just got to be able to expect it. It's going to happen. You're going to have that transition.
Well, you know, traditionally, everybody says, geez, and all this. But historically, except for a few years, we usually have about a week in the spring sometime. It's usually not till later in June.
Sure.
This is a little early.
A little early.
About, you know, where we have a week of just dreary, bad weather.
Sure. Happens every year.
Then in the fall, there'll be 1 week where it's just kind of overcast and dreary, and the sun will only come out for a few days. But compared to some of the states, I talked to a buddy of mine up north. I'm not going to mention the state because I feel bad for him. The sun hadn't been out in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It was overcast for, you know, like 3 weeks in a row, in some places longer.
And it's still cold.
Yeah, it's still chilly up north.
It's still chilly up north.
Yes. So
everything was going good. We had the bait, and the fish were here. We had the tarpon on the beach, you know, and they were coming in and out of the pass, and they were in the harbor at different spots, you know. People were finding them. They were getting in their haunts, and it seemed like across the board everybody was doing really well. Everything was really good, and we have our first rain. We were in a little bit of a drought season. We were complaining about we had no rain. We were complaining that the rivers weren't running. We were complaining that the water was too clear.
Be careful what you wish for.
You got it. We really didn't want it all.
Fort Myers is supposed to get like 7 to 10 inches of rain today.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really want it all in a week, you know, but we got it. So here's the good news. Hey, your rivers are running. I promise you the peace in the Miac and the Coosahatchee River, they're running now.
I was doing some scans on my computer because my computer's been really screwing up here lately. I don't know what's been going on. Let me get on fishandfranks.com, and I can tell you what the Peace River's doing right now. Fishandfranks.com, it's finally coming up. Weather and tides. Come on, pretend you're a computer. Weather and tides, bottom of the page, Peace River button. And come on, you can do it. Waiting on the USGC, but I have the flow charts for the Peace River. All right, it's up, and monitor values 119 cubic feet per second. 2005 was the biggie. At this time in 2005, we had 5,540 cubic feet a second. We've got 119. It is up to 1.5, not quite 1.5 foot in Arcadia. No water yet, Tom.
It's coming.
No water yet.
It is coming. Shell Creek's flowing.
It was at a half a foot. It has come up a foot.
Right. Well, now you also had the watershed that's going to, you know, the natural push.
Right. But we're still waiting. Everything's got to still drink.
It's still coming.
But
right.
It has come up a foot. It was a half a foot at the marker in Arcadia, And as I've said 1,000 times in the show, we need 2 feet to sure. actually have any water coming down there, because the river is actually shallower after that marker. So it at least... Hey, it came up a foot.
Yep, and it's coming. It's still raining. And it's going to be moving here shortly.
Yeah, because they're getting a lot of rain up by Orlando at the headwaters of the Peace River.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's coming.
People don't realize. They say, well, I went way up river. Where'd you go? Well, Harbor Heights. I'm like, yeah. Well, you got to go another 100-plus miles to get to the top of that river.
Yeah, I went to Liverpool. You haven't even got in the finger of her yet.
Yeah, you haven't even got to the freshwater
yet. No. So anyhow, it's coming. It's moving. It's going to be coming. We're going to see the effects shortly of it. Like your Shell Creek Dam should start coming over any time.
Shell Creek should be doing good. I don't know if I have a Shell Creek marker. I didn't look.
Shell Creek should be, that's great news for a lot of people, because a lot of people like to go up there and catch, your snook.
Snook have been going off.
Right.
I mean, at Shell Creek, the snook fishing, and it had been getting really good. And actually, I have a Shell Creek thing here. Let me see what it says. All right. I put so much stuff up on here, I forgot. I literally forgot I had anything. Okay. Yeah. Shell Creek's coming up. Noah's actually come up a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. It was at 5.5. No, it's come up a half a foot. So that's going to put some nice water over that dam. That half a foot really helps.
Yep. Well, and that'll help. That's part of the Peace River coming too. It's all coming.
Snook and tarpon all going to be up there with that fresh, with that new
that's
water.
It.
I shouldn't say fresh water, because it is fresh water all the time when it comes over. But new water coming over, washing bugs and bait.
Higher levels pushing across
air. I would have thought of that. I was going to go out this morning. I would have been at the dam if I would. I never even thought about it.
Yes.
Now that brings it back into play, all the spillways.
Oh, absolutely. They're rolling. 74, I was on it yesterday, and 74 ditches on both sides are full.
So, 100% along Burnt Store is going to be good fishing.
Absolutely.
Along 41 on all the spillways.
Absolutely.
The snook are going to be going crazy. You're going to have tarpon. You're going to have snook. All that on all the spillways.
Well, everything's pushing.
Look, we were sitting here thinking nothing's going on, and right now it's probably all happening at this moment.
Well, anything for me and my business and my guiding right now, it hasn't happened yet. It's coming. Right now, we're sitting here rained out. We have the wind. We have big waves out there, So we're kind of shut down and blown off. That's why I'm here on Wednesday, whatever it is.
And we're sitting here talking instead of me being on the floor selling tackle. Exactly. I have been for the last weeks.
The thing about it is, you can do it in the rain if you want to, or you can wait a couple of days and the rain comes in the afternoons. We get back to our schedule and it's still going to be flowing. So you can still go and be dry and be comfortable. So these days we're blown off the water, but it's going to change, So now here we are, and you've heard about me talk about it in the wintertime going to spring, and you've heard it talk about it from summer going into fall. It's your transition. And the transition period is a tough time.
Okay. Now, have you been working any artificials here lately?
No.
Okay, no. Everything's been bait. What kind of bait are you using?
Just because it's easier and faster for me. Artificials will work. The more bait you have in the harbor or around you, the better your artificial has a chance of imitating. So the artificial is actually really good during live bait.
So what kind of bait have you been using?
I've been using greenbacks. I've been using ladyfish.
So a combination thread fins of cut bait and live bait?
Yes, sir. And crabs.
Okay. Now,
depending on what species.
What are you using the cut bait on?
You can use cut bait on everything. 90% of your fish over 20 pounds of your snook are caught on dead bait, on cut bait.
Okay.
They do eat the thread fins, they do eat the greenbacks, and they will eat the crabs. But your big fish are mostly, caught in heavy current, in a deeper bit of water, on dead bait.
I'll be darned. For some reason or another, people always say, well, I don't want to use cut bait, I want live bait, because I want to catch all these fish. And, we find out more and more across the show that, it's actually not always the case. I've been out the last couple times, I haven't had any live bait with me.
Yep. Well, I've
been using nothing but frozen bait. We've got sharks, we've got cobia, we've got all this stuff, and I haven't had any live bait on the boat.
And a lot of...
I think that's because I'm lazy. I didn't want to go do anything. Well, I just wanted to go fishing.
I wasn't going to put anything out there.
I didn't want to chase bait. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to go out and fish.
Well, and a lot of people have learned And a lot of us have been reminded pretty hard this year of that situation itself due to none other than the tern and the gull. For we'd have the white bait, and you can't hardly chum due for the birds get so thick that you can't fish your live bait on your hook because they want to pick it up and take it. So you're crushing your bait, you're killing your bait to put the scent out there to chum, and you're finding out that the birds will dive actually a little bit underwater. So now you're sitting your bait on the bottom. No way to keep it there is either a weight or dead.
I hate it when the terns and the seagulls move dead. You know, you're not allowed to shoot them. You're not allowed to do anything to them. We've actually had captains show up here, and I can't mention their name, and I don't remember their name.
It wasn't me.
Who they are. I have absolutely no idea for anybody in FWC listening, but they would open up their live wells because they would be catching them and stuffing them into compartments of their boat. They went out in the parking lot. Guy shows up one day, and all of a sudden he goes, "Oh, forgot." He goes out and starts opening up all the hatch lids, and all these birds are flying out everywhere.
Just so everybody knows, that was not on Fishbone Charters.
That was not on Fishbone. I can promise you it wasn't on Fishbone. But it was just funny because, you know, well, because when they grab the bait, sometimes they get the hook. Then you got to take the hook out. Well, he says, "Well, at least if they're in here, they're not biting my bait again."
That's right. And I've heard that too. But
I've heard people using the Super Soaker water guns to try and run them off.
Well, we've tried everything. I tried. I thought I was really smart, so I recorded one. We caught one on a hook. We got to the boat, and I'm releasing it, undoing the hook out like you do a fish. You know, it's squealing, it's squawking.
Right.
I recorded it on my cell phone. During this whole session, I had somebody hold my cell phone while it was squealing and squawking. Undid the hook, let it fly away. I thought, I got it now. So next time, which is in 2 seconds after that, next bait, they just dive in our chum and whatnot. I turned it on and held it out there thinking, boy, this is a distress call. And it doesn't work. But you can try it if you'd like to, but it doesn't work.
For some reason, other birds don't seem to care if another bird's in trouble.
No.
It's like, okay, there's food here. Good. You're dying. They're leaving me alone.
They're on you now. Great.
Yeah, they got you. Okay, I'm good.
Yep.
Birds, there's no honor among birds.
No. But back to the fish. So now, with this change, here we go. We're back in transition. It's a tough time. Because what's happening is your water's going to start getting darker with the tannic acid, with the wind. And the waves that we've had, get your fresh water moving in, so you're going to start getting more of the tannic acid dark. The harbor's going to start darkening up a little bit. So with that, and then you also have our bigger tides are right now, too. We're in June. You got the hill tides coming. So you have your flush. A lot of the snotgrass and that we saw that was a problem a month and a half.
Still a problem up here in the harbor.
Oh, down south it's gone. I mean, we don't have that problem.
I was at Marker 2 the other day, and you still have that sewage. It literally smell. Looks like sewage.
Yes.
But it's grass. It's weeds. It just bundles up.
That's because the river's not moving yet.
Yes, exactly. But it was bad on the lines.
Right. Yeah. Well, we've had that down south, and in the bottom, in the what I call the hourglass of the harbor down south. We had that real bad for the last couple months, but that will be moving away from us now. And it's gone. We haven't had it. Our flats down south are looking a lot better.
Okay. Now, to your point, I just went on fishandfranks.com, weather and tides button, and hit the tides. And overnight, we're doing pretty good overnight, but even this afternoon, we've got a tide of more than 2 foot of
above normal mean.
Yeah, it's going from over 2 foot to below zero, so that's a more than 2 foot tide drop this afternoon.
That's a different.
That really helps get it out here, but it's not going to work today because the wind's out of the west.
Well, but it's going to blow in, so you're getting an extra foot and a half of tide. It's going to hold it.
Yes.
It will leave.
if the wind stops, it would be a tremendous flushing action.
Sooner or later, it's going to leave.
Sooner or later, it's
it's transition.
Today and tomorrow, we both got major outgoing tides, major hill tides. The one is at, 1451, and the other is at 1516. Subtract 12, and it'll give you the time.
There you go. But so now in the transition, we're back to you had the bigger tide, with the full moon and the no moon, and then with these storm fronts that we have coming in like this, you have an increase in tide, which changes the color, changes the height, the level, and the flow efficiency, you know, that you're going to give a stronger tide now than you'd have the weaker tide tide changes. So all that is all happening at once. Here we go again. All this week, it's just big.
I'm thinking this week it's going to bring more fish up into the harbor.
It will. It'll move them.
Yeah, because there's been so much fish 3, 5, 10 miles out in the Gulf, but there hasn't been that much up in the harbor.
It's going to bring them back.
I think this is going to bring those fish into the harbor. It could be, instead of the catastrophic event, this could be the beginning of the good.
It is. It's exactly that. It's change. If you don't like the weather in Florida, wait 15 minutes. Same thing. If you don't like the fishing, go tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, it changes. So this is just a transition period.
What is your projection? I'm hoping now trout were been doing really good. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, they've been catching some nice trout there. Not a lot, but some good size ones. And the same thing from like Sandfly north up towards Placida, right in those flats. They've been catching some decent trout there from what I've heard. Do you think this event is going to help or hurt the trout fishing?
I don't know anything about the trout over there, the reports over there. I haven't been over there to do any of that. It's tarpon season.
Right.
But I would think that it would probably help. Here's what's happening now, too. With this transition, with this rain, with these higher tides, our bait is also spawning. That we're talking about was here. And right. The reason why it was so good before was because it was here, because it was spawning. It was going up in the grass flats, laying its eggs, and it's getting out of here. It moves, just like your mullet move on weather, your bait's moving on weather. So your bait's all jostling around right now. It's moving towards the offshore. But what behind the bait, and we're already seeing some of this, is what guides call maggot bait, which is a smaller bait that's hatched and popping out. And there's the whole south end, the middle of the south end out is just solid that maggot bait. It's just a smaller greenies, smaller threadies,
right.
And there's zillions of them. So those, and that, to me, I find that being a trout magnet. Also redfish too. You'll see a lot more striking going on because there's a bazillion, you know, on the flats right now, because that's where they're, you know,
right,
raised. And they're in tight schools, so you're going to have your fish are actually going to feed on it. They can catch them easy, you know, they're not as fast, you know, they're a bigger fish, so they can catch that smaller bait a lot easier than they can catch the bigger bait. And the bigger bait runs offshore, you know, it goes off into deeper water. And then in the mornings, or and when the daylight comes, it comes up onto the flat and it stays on the flat, you know, and it makes that transition. Well, this bait stays there 24/7. You know, it doesn't know that yet. So I think they're gorging on it. I think they're going to be doing good on it.
So now, is this going to transit or carry on to redfish, snook, more fish on the flats?
I hope.
Because of more bait on the flats?
I just hope more redfish show up. I just haven't. We're just, our numbers to me, in my field looking, it's just down.
It's going to be down. We've had red tides every fall during the spawn for how many years now?
But Frank, I did not point a finger at the pie of anybody. I just said our redfish are down right now.
But
so I'm hoping that the more bait we have, the more they can eat.
You can blame tournaments. You can blame this.
Right. You can blame 100 things.
It all combines into something. The biggest single one, in my opinion, humble opinion, it's not very humble, it's very egotistical and egocentrical, but is that when you have red tide, during the redfish spawn, year after year after year, not only does it kill the adults, it kills the hatchlings. And that's where we're seeing the big problems, because we had snook bounce back. Tremendous numbers of snook came back after the freeze, more than we had before the freeze.
The two-year closure.
No, that had nothing to do with it. It had zero to do with it. The two-year closure did nothing, absolutely nothing, because the numbers were growing after the snook season opened. What had to do with was perfect spawn time. They spawned, we got a little bit of rain, the fish all push out to the Gulf, they spawned in real salt water, we had great numbers of eggs survive. This year, what's probably going to happen, now a lot of fish have spawned at the mouth of canals, the mouth of creeks, because there was no difference between the water in Harbor Heights and the water in the Gulf of Mexico. They go right out to the mouth of the creek and spawn. Now all this fresh water is going to come down, it's going to kill 80% of those eggs. They're going to sink to the bottom and die. We got so many snook back because of perfect spawning weather. And the same problem that we've had with the redfish goes to perfect storm of red tide, red tide, red tide. right during the spawns. You can blame everything else, and yeah, fishing pressure is a big thing, but if you kill them when they're babies, you never get to see them as adults.
Okay. And this is where me and Frank agree on things and disagree on things. I think that the drought seasons, of course, we didn't have the rain and the pushing and that, and the fish could move easier because we didn't have the churn of the water, so it was cooler, and they went to their spots and they did their thing. Me, as a guide, me personally at Fishbone Charters.
And everything you're saying is true about adult fish. What I always look at is what happens with the babies.
True.
You now, me are personally, 100% correct on big adult fish, true. Everything you're saying. But you can't get big adult fish unless you understand what happens with the babies.
True. And we agree on things and disagree on things. Me at Fishbone Charters, I agree on the 2-year closure that they did was 100%. I mean...
Waste of time, waste of effort.
We haven't had a closure on snook in forever. We've had a bunch of perfect years that was great for spawning, and they haven't come back to the numbers we have now. They never made a jump in that before, that big of a jump in that snook, short period of time.
Snook catch and release, west east coast of Florida, average about 300,000+ a year, right? That's what they catch and release over there. They have less 36-38% of fish make it through the slot limit. Perfect for FWC is 40%. West coast of Florida, catch and release 1 million snook a year. Snook making it through the slot limit, 56%. 46%. We never drop under the 40% margin. So, all you're saying,
we have more snook than they do.
Feel good.
No, fish.
It's not emotional. It's fact base. It's facts.
No, sir.
These are the facts.
We have never had a jump and increase in fish. Good,
but it did do squiddly.
Okay. Well, here at Fishbone Charters, we agree on the closure for 2 years due to the freeze and the lack of them. And we got them now. So you base your own opinion on that. But and then we go back out to the red tide that we were talking about. I agree with you. That's 100%. And it is a natural occurrence that happens out there that we've seen.
Oh, but, since the time of Jesus.
Says right. But if you want to go a little further in that, as man and human, we're making it worse. And we haven't done anything to slow it down. I think we're fertilizing it out there, myself personally.
The fertilizer is the number one problem.
Yes. I think that's the dumping of Caloosahatchee, I know everybody points a finger at that, and everybody's tired of hearing the Caloosahatchee, but...
The guy in fertilizing his yard,
sure,
by the canal is just as guilty, absolutely, as Big Sugar.
Absolutely.
You can blame Big Sugar, you can blame farmers, you can blame all this, but I want sugar in my coffee. I'm sorry, I like,
sure,
it.
Sure, I understand. I haven't quit sugar either.
And I want to eat beef. I am a, yep, carnivore.
Me too.
My ancestors were troglodytes. Yep. They don't eat sushi because it breaks family tradition. We invented, yeah, fire. I want to keep
it. Exactly. I'm with you on that.
But...
We got to do something.
His yard, the parks and recs fertilizing, you know, our, sure, sand-based soil, everything ends up in the water.
Absolutely.
Minimize your fertilizer. Only fertilize at the end of the rainy season, never at the beginning. Give the fertilizer a chance to actually work. Anybody fertilizing at this time of year is the problem,
yes,
whether it's a farmer, a homeowner, or
golf,
whoever,
course, anything.
And farmers, they're stingy with their money. They're not going to fertilize this time of year because it's just going to get washed out anyway.
Right. Well, and the thing is, you know, not pointing the finger at who's fertilizing. That's why I was getting back with it. Everybody's pointing at the Caloosahatchee. We all hear about that every day. And we hear about, you know, don't use your herbicides and pesticides getting washed in the water. And they're coming down out of the Peace River. And they're coming down the Myakka River and blah, 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 blah. 100 miles away, what they're doing is hurting us down here. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a finger to point at, however you want to point it.
Right.
Here's the deal. We as humans, my first statement, we as humans are fertilizing this. We're doing almost nothing out here to work on a prevention of
according
it.
According to the state of Florida.
But we're doing.
According to these eco-nuts,
yeah, well,
fertilizer has nothing to do with red tide.
Yeah, okay.
And but when the state dumped 1.2 billion gallons of phosphate sludge north of Tampa in the middle grounds to clean up that phosphate
done
dump, or phosphate problem they had there, They dumped 1.2 billion gallons of phosphate sludge there. What did we have? 3 continuous years of red tide after that.
Yes, and it had the bottom's also a desert there, too.
It had no effect on red tide.
Right, not at all. So we're fertilizing out there, and nobody, you know, as everybody's pointed the finger and said, we're letting this stuff come out of the rivers. We're letting, you know, we're fertilizing our golf course. We're fertilizing your yards. We're doing this. We're doing that. Have you ever heard anybody go, well, here's what we need to do, or here's a solution. Let's put this chemical to slow it down out here. Or let's, they're not working towards reducing it.
There is a reason why nothing happens with red tide. One of the research facilities, a major, very renowned research facility, gets paid several million dollars a year to study red tide.
Well, yeah.
And anybody who's come up with any type of plan trying to halt or stop red tide has to sign over, I forget what the percentage is, but a very high percentage of any proceeds or profits to that organization to make up for their loss in the grant money they get for studying it.
Well, there you go.
And the fees for them allowing to test it are astronomical.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that our Florida, our government might be messed up in Florida a little bit, our political system?
What it is the problem is people get paid to study stuff, don't want to fix it or stop it, because then they don't get any money for studying.
Sure, exactly.
And well, political system. Take that with health, you can take it to the environment, you can take it to every phase of what goes on in this country. Too many people getting paid to study.
Sure.
Take all the money that people are getting to study this, put it all in a fund, and saying, listen, we will give you $1 billion for a cure. And guess how many cures there would be?
Yep, exactly.
And we're giving you no money to study it. We're going to give you money to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And guess how much things would get stopped?
Mm-hmm.
When you're paying people to study and look at stuff, things don't get done.
Absolutely.
So
bureaucrats.
Yeah, so I'm just telling you, you know, and I agree and disagree with you on some of the stuff. But, all right, if you were going to go out, this is all supposed to end by this weekend, I think.
I think so, too.
So this weekend coming up, I'm thinking...
Now what it's going to do, we're going to go through our transition, I believe, this week. Then we're going to get our everyday 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock showers. Hopefully, we still get that.
So, where are you going to be looking for snook, redfish, and stuff? Are you going up on the flats, or you think everything's going to be pushed out more out by the bar or up by the mangroves?
Well, that's going to change pretty much on your tides. Still, you're going to go back to your fishing. So, on your 1.5, your 2 foot over high means, you know, your big ones, they're definitely going to be in the mangroves. You know, they're going to be hidden as far as they can get.
So less than a 1.5 foot, you're going to look out in front of the mangroves, out
flats,
and as it gets dropped towards 1.0, you're going to be looking over towards the sandbars, the holes close to the bars.
Sure.
But as it gets up over 1.5, you're going to be heading into the mangroves, trying to get up underneath the trees.
Absolutely. And the perfect way to look at it, I believe, is think about a shark, and you're the fish. So when he can get across that bar and get on that flat, they're all over the flats. I mean, if you ride down through the flats, you're going to see a bunch of bull and black tip right now. They're all over.
What my customers used to love to do is stand on the front of my boat, and I would get the motor going, shut it off, and just let it go right down the bar. And we would spend 15, 20 minutes just looking at all the stuff we'd see. I mean, stingrays and sharks and trout, uh-huh, and ladyfish and snook and redfish and all this stuff just going out right there in front of their face, and they would just freak out just to see this stuff. And the conch shells and the starfish, and there's just so much to see.
Well, when the predator can get to where you are, you're in danger. So you need to get to cover. So yeah, that's how I look at it. You know, if that shark can get across that bar, you know, the tide gets high enough where he can get and he can go in and fish the flat, he's fishing the flats. And he's going to see what died in there. You know, that's his job. He's a vacuum. He's supposed to clean that up. That's his job.
Well, that's why people always get upset about the sharks and all that. I'm thinking to myself, that's their job.
Yeah, they're
not here. Only are they a janitor, they're a predator.
Yep.
They're both. They clean up everything. They eat the dead. They eat the new. They kill
weak.
Weak, you know.
Injured.
But that's their job. They're doing a bad thing. When a shark eats a tarpon, it's never wonderful, but the shark is more beneficial than the tarpon if you look at it from a purely environmental standpoint. And the tarpon is worth way more money as a charter thing, but in as an environmental standpoint, the shark actually is more beneficial.
Well, the shark and tarpon saga, there's a whole other saga on its own. That's a whole other deal there, too, every on its year. Own. Yes.
Well, I would say every 2 years somebody comes in and says, you got to run a bull shark tournament. We got too many sharks. And I'm like, yeah, right now. But
yeah,
in a little while, then they're gone. Yeah. And then there isn't too many sharks.
That's a whole other show.
I don't do knee-jerk reactions.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a whole other.
I'm a lover of history. I like knowing what's been going on the last 100 years or 200 years or million years to make my decisions on the next 10 years. I don't look at what happened this year and say, okay, this is the problem. The world's ending because something happened this year. I want to know what happened 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. 100 years, a million years before that, so that I can base my decisions on what's going to come up the next 10 years. But
absolutely.
Getting back into it, so we've heard where you're going to go. I'm going to still, to be quite honest, boys and girls, I'm going to go out and do some more cobia fishing.
Cobia.
I had a ball doing it. I like the shark and the tarpon at this time of year. It's simple. I'm using the AFW blood steel leaders, the red ones. And I'm using my cobia, I'm using my sharks, I'm catching everything you can think of on it. They're cheap, three something for a pack of two, and they work great. I bend the barbs down, I put my half a sardine or my whatever on it, and off I go, and I've just been catching fish. What's up, Steve?
Stella, is there still Stella up there?
No.
Okay.
No.
Greg?
Tell him I'll call him back in a minute. What size is that one?
1800.
I think that's the only one left here. There might be some in the warehouse, though.
The also loved warehouse.
Yeah, I know. Jeez. You know, it's a crappy little storeroom, but its warehouse sounds so much better.
I'm going to hit that here in a minute myself.
Anyway, so I'm going to be back out in the middle of the harbor doing what I can't do later in the year.
Sure.
And that's hitting the shark and the cobia. I understand why people want to do the snook and redfish, especially if you're visiting. But if you live here, right now we've got some spectacular middle-of-the-harbor fishing.
Sure. Actually, this is the best time of year to do your middle-of-the-harbor fishing.
You've got, all you need is a chum bag, a couple of regular spinning rods. I was actually testing a Quantum Optics 30. It's a $23, $25 reel, and we're catching sharks on it the other day. And I just wanted to see if it would hold up. I'm actually writing an article about it. People always assume that when we test tackle, we're testing the $100, $200 stuff. Like right now, you're testing the Shield reels.
Yes, sir.
You're doing
the Tsunami.
The Tsunami Shield.
Yes, sir.
And the Shield rods. And wonderful on some fish, not quite as great on others. But we just got done talking to the factory about them and putting in our 2 cents about possible, you know, what we'd like to see. But what do you think of the feel on that Shield rod and reel?
It's a great setup for the, and the money is
$100 for the rod, $100 for the reel.
Right. And actually, I think they, you know, I think it's a great price. I think they could raise it, but I mean, it's for the money.
Honestly,
it's a great bang for the buck.
A guy came in the other day with an almost identical rod, $160.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great for the price, and it's a good standard. I've used it. I haven't used it.
You've only
long,
used the,
yeah. I've only used
what,
it
the
short.
Medium,
right.
7.5 foot.
Right. I've only
and
used.
Do you think it's great for modest sized redfish, trout, snapper,
sure.
stuff like that? You're waiting to get some of the heavier rods to try them on bigger
right.
fish because the light rods aren't that great on the bigger fish.
Right. It's they're working. We've talked about some modifications we suggest that you know
okay.
that we see on the boat here and there, but I mean.
Well, the good thing is the factory listened.
They listened.
We were
and,
on a conference call with the factory here, Fish and I, for a while, talking about, you know, what we really liked about the reels and rods and what we didn't. How are the reels? Let's go specific to the reel, that Shield reel.
The Shield reel.
What do you think of that so far?
It's a really nice reel. I believe the drag system's holding up really good so far. Now, I've used it for a short period of time. And I put them through a test. I mean, if they last a year on my boat, it's a lifetime for most people. I just want to say I might forget to wash them, or they don't get greased very often. No, I might forget to do their annual greasing or things like that. So
I've been dealing with you and reels for I can't remember how long.
They may not maintenance
your stuff. Yeah, oh my God.
I might not, you know, do what they would like me to do with them. So it's a real good test, you know, on my boat.
I'm going to tell you, I would actually prefer that we didn't do much maintenance because
it's
the way to really tell if stuff goes good. Yep. But so far, Billy Barton's been using them. He likes them a lot. You're been using the Shield stuff, and it seems to be pretty good. Okay, we're still working out issues with supply lines and stuff like that, but I think the Shield is actually going to be
I think it's been doing better than okay. I think it's been on the up, on the upper scale of okay. You know what I mean? We just and the only reason we go, I'm going there with it is because I just haven't had the time with it I need for myself with it yet. But I'm surprised. I'm really shocked by it. I didn't expect what
you didn't expect it to be as good as it is.
Right. I didn't expect it to perform as good as and it did.
I will honestly say I'm in exactly the same boat as you are. I did not expect it to be as nice as it is.
It is.
Now, I think there's a couple minor things, but I think that I could say the exact same thing about eight other brands I have.
I can too.
That have the exact same issues. The only thing I will say that was good, we called. They called us back. They spent a long time with us on the phone listening to what we were talking about. So I think that, you know, there is hope for that company.
I think they're going to do well. I think they got the staff to do it, and they listen. And, you know, and they were concerned. They didn't say, okay, thanks, you know, I got that, okay. You know, they actually took it to heart, and
so this they may be an up and comer.
I believe they are.
I think you're going to see Shield has the potential to come in with Akuma, you know.
Sure. I believe even better than that.
But I'm just saying they could actually be a player in the industry.
I think they're going to be. I believe they're going to be. I believe in the next 2 years you're going to see them blow up.
But it's going to be up to the factory what their attitude stays like. Because attitude is a lot. It's not only having good tackle. It's keeping the prices reasonable, making a decent product, giving a decent price, not getting too greedy, and following up when there's complaints.
Absolutely.
Because everybody gets the praise, and that's wonderful. We all want to feel warm and fuzzy. But when you're calling up and you're doing critical analysis, I was very hopeful. I felt very good on that aspect of it. So, anything else that we need to talk about? We did Shield reels. We did the weather. We argued about a bunch of other stuff. I just noticed I still have some up here because they were trying to get me to buy their stuff.
I'll just go ahead and take those home with me then.
They're the ones you wanted, too. They're airwaves.
Well, good. I'll just go ahead and take those with me, and we'll try those out.
I just looked on the rack up my office going,
boy, today's a great day, guys. I love coming in here. It's like Christmas. I don't even have to go to the back storage room either. I'm here.
Am I a mess or what? I forgot it.
Are mine.
Eight rods up there or something like that. Good God, I'm a mess.
Well, all I can tell you is hold on to it.
And here we go.
There you go.
And those are what, $60 rods? Didn't we look $59?
I think there's
$89. $59, $89.
Yeah, but for $89,
it seems like a nice rod.
I've actually used one for about 2 weeks now.
It's an airwave.
It's an airwave. Yep, about. I've used one for about 2 weeks now, and it's they're really nice too.
Okay. Anything else? Now, don't talk to her. No. Okay. We have a guest here who's the silent type. So I just wanted to see if you wanted to put any 2 cents worth in. That's okay if you didn't.
Silent but deadly.
And I'm not going to say this was her fault. Anyway, this is Fish and Frank. That's Captain Tom Fisher over there. Fish, what's your phone number? I
was scared. My number is area code 941-628-4687 at Fishbone Charters. You can also go on Thomas Fisher on Facebook. It's probably the quickest if everybody does it. So,
I'll throw some links up for you.
Okay, you got some links? Yeah. Okay. Again, my number is 941-628-4687. You can get a hold of but I got a book board on with me, so it's always with me.
All right, well, thanks for listening, boys and girls. We got an area fishing report we're putting together, but we're trying to get some reports with this weather. We just said, well, we got to wait till the end of the weather to do it.
That was okay, cause I did too. She always wants to go down by the dam, and I love how she looks with that rod in her hand. If they ain't biting, she don't give up. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time, early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked, and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
iTunes or one of those places and buy the Craig Campbell song to listen to here. It's the guy's a great artist. He's got a bunch of hits. This is just one of them. Anyway, Fishing Frank, and we will catch you guys in the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.